Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
These guys are ridiculous. Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording Thursday, March 14th, Pi Day, after the Celtics win over the Phoenix Suns. Picked up their second win over Phoenix in the span of a week, this time in more convincing fashion. 127-112 was the final score for the Celtics. I am at the Garden tonight, except they took all the tables out of this room, and so all I have left is this really short, like, side table thing. And, like, if I sit up straight, I'm just going to be like this. It's very unfortunate, but I'm here. I'm going to be the hunchback in Notre Dame today, just to be in a frame. But Celtics, big win. Jaylen Brown, dominant. 37-5, three assists, two steals. Tatum, big game as well. Took a backseat in the second half, but that's what the game dictated, so good for Tatum. And then Al Horford, second 20-point game of the season, 6-for-10 from three. Big game from him as well. Pretty dominant day for the Celtics in the grand scheme of things. And for what it's worth, Sam, despite some Suns runs, to your point, the clapback Celtics sure as hell clapped back.
Clapped back hard. I was disappointed, though, in the first half they did give up the lead. That was one of the things in the article. Like, if you go through that article on Celtics blog that I did today, all the game charts that I used are like, oh, almost had it, but nope, didn't give up the lead. Like, I was like, isn't that sick that they just don't give up the lead? And they were like, hey, gotcha. But they really only went down like one, and then they said they'd seen enough and took over this game again. It was a pretty good, again, focused performance from the Celtics. They did not get overwhelmed when Phoenix stormed back. They didn't get flustered when Kevin Durant wasn't missing in this game, and they did a really good job of spreading the wealth. Even Derek White, who wasn't super efficient today, had his moments, stayed ready, made threes. Drew Holiday made a couple big shots in this one, made the dagger pull up in transition, only took five shots, all of them threes. I just liked what I saw from the Celtics as a team today. Good team ball. Jaylen continued to be aggressive. Tatum had a very efficient start to this game, and he just played well, picked his spots, read the room. Overall, just a really good game. Of course, Horford played well. Too bad I wasn't there today to ask Joe about Horford, which is the only thing I do when I go to games. But it would have not been a win had it not been for him, probably. I mean, they needed the 24 points. They did win by 15, but he helped them get going early. They were dead out the gates if it wasn't for Horford.
Yeah, a lot of offensive rebounds. I mean, I guess to the anti-Horford point, not that there is one, but like, he was also getting murdered on the glass by Yusuf Nurkic a little bit.
Dude, make you swan dive out the second floor here.
Yeah.
Watching him get all the rebounds.
Nurkic finished with seven offensive boards. Suns had 19 as a whole. They were just killing the Celtics down there. That's what Nurkic does to a degree. And it didn't end up mattering because the Celtics played too well. It was a math game, though. The Celtics outscored the Suns by 42 points from three, so like, it's not gonna be a fun day if you're the opponent and you're getting outscored by that much from three. 5 of 9 from deep for Jaylen, 4 of 8 from Tatum, 6 of 10 from Horford, 3 of 5 from Drew, 2 of 5 from Hauser, and then 3 of 9 from Derek. A little bit of a slow day there, but still made three of them. Just a big day overall. Even Tillman got in the action, made a three in the end. So big day for the Celtics behind the 3-point
line. Basically the same guy if you watched the playback the other day.
Jaylen's aggressiveness just continues. He's averaging like 30 points since the All-Star break. There were a couple times today where it was like the whoa video, and you started to lose the ball and you're like, we're riding on that line of too aggressive
ones.
And like, there was early in the game, it was like, yes, Bradley Beal's on you, but like you didn't get by him the first three times, maybe kick it out. But as a whole, like, he is playing on another level lately. He has been the best player on the Celtics, and credit to Jason for like not giving a shit, because Tatum was hot in this game too. He could have just as easily said, nah, it's Jason time. But he was like, all right, Jaylen Brown's hot. Give him the ball. Who fucking cares? This Celtics team doesn't care. They don't care who scores. They don't care, you know, who gets the most touches on the team. They want to win games. And that's been evidently clear for the entire season. And Jaylen Brown's been the guy since the break. 37 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals tonight. I'm going to be writing a piece for Celtics Blog, which should be out tomorrow morning or maybe afternoon, about just the way that Tatum and Brown have been able to read the game lately. Because, like, as much as it seems obvious, it's not something they did early on in their careers. Like, Jaylen being able to read when he has a smaller defender on him. For as much as I just said, there were a couple of positions that were iffy. Like, read, there's a small defender on him, drive by him, know where to drive by him, and know when it's time to kick out versus drive. And then Jason Tatum, I mean, the Suns threw a double team at the top of the key on him. That was some of the worst fucking defense I've ever seen. Let me pull it up. I clipped it on Twitter. This was, the most egregious defense you could ever, imagine. And Tatum was just like, all right, you're going to double me 5 feet behind the three-point line? I'll just pass and then swing pass again, and it's going to be the easiest three-point shot Derek White's ever hit in his life. Ready? Here we go. So this is... Again, I tweeted it out. I said, some of the worst defense I've seen. Sorry, I tweet a lot of clips. Bad, bad defense by Phoenix is how I phrased it. So watch this play. Tatum dribbling at the top of the key. Gets the ball from Derek White. Screen from Holiday to get Nurkic on Tatum. The Suns are so afraid of Tatum that, boom, watch, look at this. What are you doing? KD, this is not only the softest double I've ever seen, as Bill Sy pointed out in the Slack, but it's also like, I know you're afraid of I know you're afraid of Tatum getting by you, but like, if this is the result, okay, if Twitter would chill out,
Twitter is if awful that's the with result, this stuff. Not for nothing.
If that's the result, then it's not even worth you going out to double team him, because you're just like Bradley Beal got caught with his hand down his pants, like doing nothing in the paint. Okay, fine. I refreshed and now we can actually watch the full clip. So the Jays have done a great job of reading the defense and taking what the defense gives them, regardless if they themselves are on a hot scoring night. So credit to them for that. Again, Bradley Beal just got screwed. It wasn't even his fault. It's just like terrible, terrible rotations and a quick timeout by Frank Vogel. Yeah, so I think those two have been super good this season.
So slow. Because this is what Denver really did to them last week, and it actually worked. This is the same spot. They were out by the hash mark, double-teaming Tatum, but they were actually coordinated as a team, so it worked. And the passes didn't get to where they needed to go fast enough for it to hurt them. Phoenix clearly just doesn't have that kind of personnel. You all right over there? You sound angry. Angry at the Suns for disrespecting Tatum. Yeah.
No, you're this fired is up like
about this clip.
It's just like, how can you be this bad on defense? Like, this isn't even like this isn't even like a you have bad defenders team. This is like a bad game plan. This is. I don't know if it's Frank Vogel's fault. I don't know if the Suns riffed this, but like at this point, I sound like the angry coaching guy on YouTube, and I hope he does a thing on this. At this point, right, if you're going to double Tatum, which, first of all, I know Tatum is hot. Doubling Tatum, what is 5 feet behind the three-point line, is insane, right? Especially when you're on the strong side. There's two defenders right here in the paint ready to guard the drive. All you have to do if you're Kevin Durant is stunt and then get back, right? Just fake it and get back. Don't commit. At this point, you're done. At this point, you're cooked. Because Booker's not at Holiday yet. Beal's not even fucking looking at the corner. And Grayson Allen and Yusuf Nurkic are just like, ho-hum, we're going to stand here and hang out. Look at Nurkic. He is turning around. This is a live basketball play. There are five players on the court for the Celtics who can hit threes and do everything on offense. Yusuf Nurkic is jogging back to the paint saying, yep, time to rotate, guys. Here we go. Like he's like Mario. Here we go. And he's just like, yeah, don't worry. Let me head back here real quick. And he doesn't even rotate to the right place. He goes to the paint. What are we doing? So, like, as soon as I saw this play, I'm like, okay, yeah, the Suns are dead. This one's cooked. But the whole point in general is what I'm saying. Credit to Jaylen Brown for reading the defense when they had smaller guys, when the Suns put smaller guys on him and just being aggressive, going to the paint and making the right plays when he needed to. And credit to Tatum for taking a backseat and knowing that if they're going to put that much pressure on him, he can just make the quick 1-2 pass. So I think those two have made a ton of progress this year in that regard.
Are we sure Bradley Beal's any good?
Kind of stinks. My thing with Beal is, and I was going to text you this, but it's a lot to put in a text, and I figured we should talk about it here.
That's okay, yeah.
Bradley Beal feels like the type of player who would be good in a very niche scenario, right? Like, I think Beal is a good scorer, right? If he was on Miami, I think he'd be good. But you put him in a place where he is the third best at the pretty much the only thing he's good at, probably not going to look great.
Just like watching him in this game, it's like he actually finished shooting over 50%, so it was a pretty decent efficiency night from him. But your eye test would have told you he was like 3 of 10. It just felt like he missed everything that he threw up, missed a lot of layups inside, wasn't very good for a lot of this game. He's proven to be a tough play on defense for Phoenix, where Jalen just says, "Oh, that's a free post up." Devin Booker, are we sure he's any good? He was another one. What was he? 9 of 20. I guess it wasn't that bad, but if he was another one, like, it just felt like he was off today. I guess he didn't make like the. Yeah, maybe he missed a bunch of threes, but I didn't feel either one of those guys in this game. And the whole thing about Phoenix this summer was, oh, they have a big three now, like Durant, Booker, Beal. They're going to be able to light teams up scoring. Durant came out the gates red hot, then fell off a cliff too. So, like, is Durant even good? But no, like, seriously, I really am just, like, I can't believe they gave up so much for Beal. Prayers up to them.
I mean, even, like, Kevin Durant, he was 9 of 19. That's only one shot worse than Booker, one attempt. But I think the real thing is, as much as you might laugh at it, like 9 of 19, 9 of 17, 9 of 20, what's that? 27 of 39, 46 of 56. So 27 of 56 is
48%.
48% shooting. Not bad, right? That's pretty good. Yeah. Tatum and Brown, 14 of 23, 10 of 18. That's better. But the thing is, those guys made 9 threes combined, Tatum and Brown. The other guys made 5 threes for 3 of them. Like, at the end of the day, it is a math game. Like, they have 3 great scorers on their team, yes, but they just live in the mid-range. You're not going to win games like that. Like, if that's your whole offense, you need to be the best mid-range shooter, making all of your mid-range shots every single time to make it even a competition. And if they're not that, they're not going to win. And hasn't gone like that's just not how you're going to win basketball games, especially against the teams that have perfected offense leading to threes, like to the level of the Celtics have. Like, the Celtics take the most threes in the league and they're like third in percentage. Like, you're not going to beat that when you're taking all middies.
Yeah, pretty sure like that's the whole thing about the NBA now, is you have like one guy that shoots mid ranges, the rest of them don't. For the Celtics, it's strangely Jalen and also Porzingis. So I guess if your guys are elite at it, it depends on the position. You can have 2 or 3 guys that'll do it.
But they can also hit threes. And not that the Suns can't, but they don't.
Phoenix can hit threes, but they don't take them. Beal, exactly. 2 of 4. Durant, 1 of 3. Booker, 1 of 6. Like, I mean, we were talking to Steven yesterday about math. Somebody give Vogel a calculator. And to Steven's point, when he was talking to us about, like, you know, which fan base would you rather be, thinking your team doesn't shoot enough threes like Phoenix, or, you know, the Celtics fans that are like, oh my gosh, are these guys ever going to go inside the arc? You're probably better off being the Celtics, because it's easier to go to the rim than make yourself start shooting threes. Like, if that's not in your play style, it's hard to add in. You just don't think about it. You're like, okay, well, this middie's a good shot. I'm good at this shot. Why would I take a three if I can get this shot every time? And if you're Kevin Durant, it's the easiest thing on the planet to be like, hell yeah, I'm just going to take mid-ranges over everybody. And that's fine, because he's, what, top 5 in the league in mid-range percentage, something crazy like that. So it's okay for him to do it. But are the other two guys like that? I don't think so. I know Booker's pretty good too, but I don't think
Beal's good. Beal's a good mid-range shooter. They're all good mid-range shooters. It just doesn't matter, because, like, they take, let me take a look. They take the 5th fewest threes in the league. And ironically enough, the Nuggets, that's the contrast for you, right?
The Nuggets are also getting layups.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Exactly. The Nuggets take the 3rd fewest threes in the league, but they have an offense run by Jokic who can get any bucket he wants in the paint and find Aaron Gordon on the weak side. Like, this Suns team doesn't have that. They're just taking all middies. Like, that's the difference between a low 3-point shooting team that works versus a low 3-point shooting team that doesn't. And for what it's worth, like, they only took eight or five more paint, like restricted area shots than the Celtics. This is, the Suns shot 16 of 23 in the restricted area. The Celtics shot 14 of 18 in the paint in general. Like, the Suns shot 9 of 23 in the paint non-restricted area. The Celtics shot 6 of 15. And then from the mid-range, Celtics shot 2 of 6, and the Suns shot 11 of 12. But then the Celtics shot 21 of 42 from above the three-point arc, like the top of the key. You're not winning if that's the splits you're going with. If the Celtics you're allowing the Celtics to shoot 50% from the three, you're overreacting to Tatum and Brown and giving Horford all of those shots and Derek White all of those shots and Drew Holiday all, like, that's just not, like, the Celtics make it hard because you have to pick what you want to take away. Joe Mazzulla has talked about that a lot. I think Frank Vogel, or I've heard other opposing coaches talk about it too. Like, you have to pick what you want to take away and you have to live with some stuff. That's the nature of the NBA because these teams are really good. You picked wrong. The way to beat the Celtics, I think, as we've seen throughout the course of the season, is you be really physical with them inside and you take away a three-point shot, you force them off the line. That's how you beat them. And if you don't do that, you lose. And when the Celtics are all firing in all cylinders, they can find ways around that, as we've seen. But then on the flip side, like, the Celtics, I think, are pretty okay. Like, just playing solid defense and a bunch of mid-range shots and giving up a ton of, like, contested middies. Joe's Missoula ball is all about math, and I mean, the math worked in this one. The Celtics got killed in the rebounding department. I guess in part because Nurkic was just a beast down there, but still, like, they got out-rebounded 51 to 31, and also because they made all the shots. The Phoenix, I mean, they only got one fewer free throws. Really no calls in this game, as it was in the last couple games as well. But the Celtics even got out-shot. The Suns took 10 more shots than the Celtics in this game. Just the Celtics shot, or the Celtics just made 14 more threes. Like, you're just not gonna win the game if you're giving up that big of a three-point disparity. So credit to the Celtics. The Jays are awesome. We talked about Horford. Drew Holiday had 10 assists in this game the day after we talked about him being sort of a connector, so credit to him. He's been great. And Tillman too. Tillman looks good, man. So did Gornette, but like, Tillman, he came to play in this one, made a three, played some solid defense. This was a really, really good win against a quality team, and with, it was without Porzingis. So credit to the Celtics. They're back, potentially. Could be back.
They look good. They look good. Joey Calculator strikes again and played some good defense there himself, thanks to the Big J journalists in the press room tonight. I realized that he closed out on a Royce O'Neal post-buzzer heave that somebody shared on Twitter, and everybody was tweeting about it. So credit to all you guys. I did not notice that in real time, but that was one of the funniest things I've seen this season. It rivals, it's probably better than the time that Brad Stevens pump faked the three from the corner. Joe Mazzulla just closing out on Royce O'Neal. If you're Royce O'Neal, like, what is your reaction to that? If he would never have press availability tonight, Royce, but if he did, you got to be like, listen, has a coach ever done that to you before?
Let's see. I bet somebody asked him in the locker room, because you can just go up to anybody in the locker room, but
can you?
Here's the play. I think so. I'm not exactly sure it works, but here's the play. I was wondering. It's so good.
It's fire.
He missed the shot, too. Well, he gave a really good answer about it after the game. I'll put it on the screen and tweeted it out. He basically said, like, we don't want these guys to get a rhythm. Like, Royce O'Neal hadn't made a three all night. For what it's worth, he finished 0-7 from the field, 0-5 from three. He said, at that point, he hadn't made a three all night, and so I don't want him going back to the bench feeling good about himself. He's like, I'm not letting him make a shot on our hoop, like, in front of our bench. I expect our players to play defense, and I'm going to hold our staff to the same standard. He said, like, when our staff wasn't doing that early in the year, I had a stern conversation with them about not letting guys get up shots in our basket. Buddy Hield was doing this early in the game, and he goes, Gary Washburn asked him about it, and he was like, I think he did this earlier. He like contested, and he was like, yeah, I got mad at our players for letting them shoot on our basket. Like, we can't let guys shoot on our basket. He said, I think it's important, a little gamesmanship, but we don't want guys going back to their bench feeling good about themselves. I still don't understand the people who dislike Joe. This is like everything you want. This is what Boston fans like live for, this type of shit. Like, this is something like, yeah, true. Fuck this team. This is our coach. This, like, dude, Joe rocks. He's that guy. Like, he literally goes,
this is innovative.
Well, the crazy part, like, the fact that he knew, he goes, I knew Royce O'Neal hadn't made a three all night, so I wasn't bad to let him make one there. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, that's some psycho shit. It's sick. It's awesome.
Like, I don't want him to lose money, but it would be a little funny if he got fined.
He literally said, if it's within the rules, we're going to do it. And that's with it. Like, what's the rule against it? It'd be fire if the NBA came up with a rule and said, you can't do this shit. But
like, they just say that's enough of that.
Well, we see players do it all the time where they like block the ball from going in the hoop after whistle's dead. So like, why can't Joe do it? He said, fuck it. Yeah, I'm not letting him do shit. Joe rules, man. He's so sick. He's so awesome.
By the way, we have not mentioned this yet. Celtics have clinched. They will be there no matter what.
Celtics will be in the playoffs. 10th year in a row. They've made the playoffs, by the way.
10 years in a row. What is that? 15 out of 16? Because they missed the 1 year. Wow. What a That's run.
Pretty good.
No championships it's, pretty damn good. 10 years.
They'll get it. They'll get Please. It eventually. Hopefully.
I am no longer asking. I'm like getting mad because they haven't won a championship yet. Like every day I get progressively more upset when they just haven't had the chance to do it yet this year. Like I can't make the playoffs start yet. I'm like, you know, this team like sucks. Like they should have already won the title. Blah, 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 blah.
This team has only existed since the start of the season.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
exactly.
But I'm just getting like more and more mad at them. I'm like, you know what? I just remembered they still haven't won a title. Well, they didn't win the in-season tournament.
I'm sitting here like, Sam, it's been 2 days, brother, please.
Blemish on the resume. They lost the Mickey Mouse tournament.
They don't give a shit about that. Did I miss anything? Did we go over it all? I think that about
I think we went over all of it. Couple days off. Wizards, Pistons, back-to-back. Absolute gauntlet coming Sunday, Monday.
Now, I'm never the one to say this, but I swear to fucking God. Please, I don't want to come on here. For if anything else, I don't want to come on here and have to deal with Sam if they lose to the Wizards.
If they Please, lose on God. Sunday, I'm gonna be pretty mad. If they lose Monday, at least it's like a little bit funny because I kind of like the Pistons. But
the Wizards,
I actually like hate the Wizards. I think Poole's a rat. Kuzma's always been kind of annoying.
You see what Jalen Green did to the Wizards tonight?
No, what did he do?
Let me find it. This is the most disrespectful thing.
I don't remember what the hell I was going to look at.
This is one of the most disrespectful things I've seen in a long time. Watch this play. They're up by 17 at this point, or maybe 14. And Jalen Green just pulls this out of the bag. Look at this.
Crosses hold on, hold on. I got to find the tab. I got to find. Oh, no.
What are you laughing at then?
I will tell you as soon as I'm done. As soon as you're done.
Jalen Green. Crosses him up, stares at him on the ground, and then does the Curry turnaround on the three.
Did he make it? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just as bad as the Harden one years ago when he stared at Wesley Johnson.
Dude. And then, all right. I love how it cuts to the other end, and there's just Jordan Poole doing a super cool crossover
move. He sucks. So,
what were you gonna say?
As we mentioned on the pregame show today, Providence College played against Creighton. In the Big East men's basketball tournament, they won.
Did you put it on a second screen?
I didn't put it on a second screen, but I did tune in at halftime.
I knew it.
I watched some of it. I just didn't have a second screen, to be honest with you. Exchange with Providence head men's basketball coach Kim English. Question. Coach, you are trending on Black Twitter. They're wanting to know who he is. What's his marital status? They're saying Kim English, very handsome. Kim English, who I shared a flight with this summer.
What was his response? What did he say?
He said no comment. You should just like make that up next time you go see Joe. Be like, Joe, you're trending on Black Twitter. What do you think?
I don't think I'm the person to make that up. Oh, man. Okay. Did we cover everything? I think that about
yes. does it. We covered everything right. and more.
We did.
You got some Jalen Green. You got some Providence College. Who doesn't love that?
Thank you. Thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it. Make sure to subscribe to How About Them Celtics. Leave a like on the video, which forgot to ask you to do at the start. So if you watched to this point, just scroll down and leave a like. We'd appreciate it. Check us out on all podcast platforms. Follow us there. Leave a 5-star review. And I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Hey, thank you very much for watching. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our daily uploads. We're coming at you at 5 a.m. with some new content every single day. We'll be live later today at some point. I'm assuming 10, but I know there's some kind of shenanigans happening that you and Bobby may be a little bit busy there. Is it you going to be good for? Yeah. So it's going to be a different time.
There's practice, yeah.
Practice.
We'll have to find a time, figure it out. Actually, we might have to do it.
That means Sam does time gymnastics tomorrow.
It's going to be a mess, yeah.
But make sure you come no matter what. We'll be here. We'll be here for you. You can find us on Spotify and Apple. Follow us there for the audio pods and game recaps right to your inbox. You can email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com. We're recording Sunday's pod later today. So make sure you get those emails in. Tell us what you thought of this win over Phoenix. It was a kind of a marquee game coming in, and the Celtics kind of whomped them. So big win. You can also find us on socials at How About Them C's, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The Facebook is just the name of the podcast. Jack's Twitter is at Jack Simone NBA. My Twitter is at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us.
Tacos having some fun here.
It is bogus! These guys are ridiculous!